In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we come today to Golgotha. By ancient tradition, Holy Communion is never celebrated after the Maundy Thursday liturgy until Easter, which is why we have the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified today, namely communion from the hosts consecrated last night at Maundy Thursday. And after this liturgy ends today, there's nothing for it but to go home. And that, by the way, is what St. Luke's Gospel said that the disciples did after the Lord's death. They beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid, and they returned and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. As a church professional, that's my plan, after I go make my Easter confession in Tallahassee, to go and rest on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. And the interlude between Good Friday and the Easter vigil always feels a little weird to me. And I think the weirdness of the feeling is a token of what the disciples must have felt. Like, what are we supposed to do now? St. John's Gospel even says that the 12 decided to go fishing. That's one of my favorite short verses in the Bible. Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. After the Lord's death, the disciples' immediate task is therefore a passive one, to let it sink in, the weight of this mystery we've obediently commemorated this morning, the death of God. Just let it sink in until the third day. But of course, there is a call to action also implicit in the mystery, but its scope is considerably broader. We're always supposed to be about the business of imitating our Lord. That's what he said many times in the Gospels. Everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and so forth. And in the broad scheme of things, we're coming into a socio-cultural space in which the imitation of our Lord's passion will be the preeminent idiom of Christian discipleship. Not that we are in immediate danger of being killed for the faith in the United States, and may it please God that it should never be so in our country, but it's good to remember, too, that many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world very much do live under the threat of following their Lord very literally in his passion and death. But even for us in the so-called free world, the conscientious practice of Christianity runs increasingly against the grain of the predominant modes of public life and cultural assumptions. If you would follow Jesus, you will have to come to terms with being a weirdo. And this, in a sense, is a new and emergent reality of American life. And I pray that it is reversed, though I don't think it will be anytime soon. And it may be tempting for Christians, at least in our part of the world, to try and draw the lines of demarcation using secular political cartography, to think that conservatives are the Christians out of sync with an increasingly irreligious and even anti-religious political left. But the Wall Street Journal just the other day had a piece talking about Elon Musk's many, many children and their many, many mothers. I'm not sure what that is exactly, but I know that it is not the way of Jesus. And it's remarkable that a man at the apex of American public life should be working from assumptions so at odds with Christianity, at least in this department. Learning to tell the story of your life in terms of the story of God's action in Jesus Christ, which is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian, will make you an antisocial weirdo in the years ahead and in the eyes of the powers that be, I believe. But this is familiar territory for the church. We might even say that this is the church's default setting historically. The Lord foretold it at the Last Supper, the night before he was crucified. If ye were of the world, he said, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. I want to tell you the story of an actor named Alexander Rostovtsev, who played Jesus in a blasphemous play called Christ in Fur in Russia during the early Soviet years under Joseph Stalin. The play was part of a government campaign to eradicate Christianity from Russia. It was performed on Easter Sunday and featured a cross made out of empty beer bottles and a bunch of drunken clergy conducting a blasphemous liturgy and Jesus wearing a tailcoat played by Rostovtsev. Rostovtsev, playing the part of Jesus, was to read a couple of verses from the Beatitudes in St. Matthew's Gospel, and then cast aside the Gospel in order to join the revolution. That's what the script called for. But it did not go as planned. Rostovtsev came out on the stage, read the scripted verses from the Beatitudes, but then he kept reading. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The audience was silent. Rostovtsev closed the gospel book, bowed, made the sign of the cross, and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he was ushered off the stage, the play was canceled, and he was never heard from again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.